do appreciate your prayers and ask that you continue to pray as we look into the Word of God this morning. For an introduction, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 1, a very familiar psalm. A few thoughts here that I would like to bring out in opening. Psalm 1 and verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I've titled the message this morning, "Alone with God." Alone with God. We're going to be looking at the devotional life of the Christian this morning. Is it necessary? And why? Is it something that is lively and inspiring and something that is filling the needs in my life? These are some of the things we're going to look at. I was challenged with Psalm 1 as I thought about time alone with God. Where am I receiving counsel from? Verses 1 and 2 tell us that a man is blessed when he delights in the law of the Lord. When he sits down day and night and reads and thinks about the law of God, and he goes away applying the laws of God to his life. And contrarywise, tells us, a man is not blessed when he chooses to take advice from or be influenced by something or someone other than God himself. His life is ungodly because he who is without God will be under the direction of his flesh and Satan. I thought about the account of Moses when God called Moses to come up on the mount. Come up to Mount Sinai. This was called the Mount of God. There in this mountain, Moses fellowshipped with God for 40 days. Just imagine you being in a mountain for 40 days, fellowshipping with God. For 40 days, he lived in the presence of God's holiness. He lived in the presence of God's glory and righteousness. Moses, in those 40 days, did a lot of listening. I think I counted up around 7 chapters in Exodus of things that God told Moses, and I don't know if that includes everything or not. While Moses was listening to God, Aaron, his brother, was listening to the people. The input that Moses and Aaron received were vastly different. When Moses listened, he received God's revelation of the law of righteousness. And when Aaron listened, he heard complaints, he heard wishes, demands. Moses came down the mountain and brought with him the tables of stone with the Ten Commandments. And this was what God wanted them to live by. Here was the law of God in his hands. Moses had met with God, and I believe he was coming down that mountain excited about life, excited about what God had shared with him and the meeting and the fellowship he had with God. Aaron caved in to the whims of men. He accepted their advice. He did what they wanted him to do. He was influenced by an ungodly group of people, and he fell into idolatry with them. I hope you can follow my train of thought. I'm trying to contrast one who delights in the law of the Lord, one who has God's word in his heart, who meditates on God's word day and night, And one who has become very weak because he does not delight in God's word. And therefore, he doesn't spend quality time alone with God. Time reading the word of God. And because he doesn't, he falls prey to the evil forces around him. Evil will reign in our hearts if God and his word does not. There is a need in our day for people who love God's word. There's a need today for men and women who enjoy and anticipate time alone with God and his word. I would like to think about some reasons why we need time alone with God. I think it's important that we think about this. Why we do what we do. And some of these reasons may overlap some, and there's a possibility that there are more than what I have this morning. And if there are more that you think of that should be in this list, I would be glad to hear them after church. Number one, I need time alone with God because he is my friend. There are a couple things that I think about when I think of the word friend. When I think of the word friend, I think of a relationship or a kinship. We know the testimony of Enoch. Enoch is known to be one who walked with God, which gives me the picture that there was a relationship there. He knew God. He knew God. Abraham, we know, was called the friend of God. The friend of God. What made him a friend of God? The book of James tells us that he was called the friend of God because he believed God. He had faith that God was the answer for his life's needs. And we know by Abraham's life that God was a real part of his life. I think Luke 8:21 also sheds some light on this. It says, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Jesus says that you are my family. You are a real kin to me if you hear the word of God and obey it and do it. Speaks of every relationship. When I think of the word friend, I also think about love. Proverbs tells us that a friend loveth at all times. We are most concerned about pleasing our friend at all times, if we have a true friend. We don't want to disappoint them in any way. And we say God is our friend, and I hope this morning that that is true for each one of us. If God is my friend, I will want to spend quality time with him. And I will see the importance of having time alone with him. Friends grow closer, and the bond grows stronger when there is time spent together. When we have time alone with God, we begin to see his heart. And he knows my heart, and we are drawn together. We understand his desires for my life. A relationship is maintained by spending time together. And I hope it's that love for him that daily draws us away from our busy schedules to spend time alone with him. If we are spending time alone with him just out of duty, then I think we better take a look at our walk with him. It should be because God is my friend, that there has been a relationship established, and there's love there that keeps drawing me back to him every day so that I can better understand his heart. As I think about my devotional life, the time alone with God each day, does it give the picture of a living relationship where God can look down upon us and say, "He is my friend. He is my friend." Something for us to ponder. If God is truly my friend, I will want to spend quality time with him. Number two, I need time alone with God because I chose to be his disciple. I chose to be his disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who emulates the thought, action, and character of his master. Jesus says in Mark 10, 24 and 25, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Jesus says, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. The thought is brought out in these verses that a disciple is one who will imitate the character of his master. Who is our master? If we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we know who our master is. If we are living true to the commitment we made to be a disciple of Jesus, we will sit at the feet of Jesus daily to receive teaching and direction so we know how to best imitate and follow him. Jesus is the teacher. We are learners and followers of him. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some may think that being yoked with Christ brings upon us a greater burden, bondage. But these verses do not give us that picture. He says, take my yoke and you'll find rest. It's almost like a paradox. It is a paradox. We take something upon us to find rest. And learn of me. I need time alone with God because I chose to be his disciple. And to be his disciple, I need to follow him. And to follow him, I need to know the way. I need to know the way. Number three, I need time alone with God so that I may learn to fear him. I invite you to turn with me to Deuteronomy 17. And I'd like to read verses 18 to 20. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And he shall read therein all the days of his life. Why? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. There are a lot of things that I believe will happen when I spend time alone with God. But one of the things that I believe will happen to one who is diligently spending time with God is that he will learn to fear God. He will learn to fear God. I will begin to see how small I am. And how big God is. I will see his holiness and experience his forgiveness and power. By spending time alone with God, we soon get a real picture of who God is, his character. This was something God was concerned about. He wanted this king to have his own copy of the law, and he wanted him to read it every day so that he would learn to fear the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we fear God, we are able to comprehend the virtues of godly character. The fear of God springs from a heart of love and devotion, and a desire to please Him in all things. Why is the fear of God such a vital part of the Christian life? God wants us to read His Word so that we may learn to fear Him. Why is that so important? The fear of the Lord dreads God's displeasure. The fear of the Lord desires God's favor. So as we look into the Word of God, we see how God wants us to live. And because we know how God wants us to live, we respond to Him in obedience and fear. The fear of the Lord reveres His holiness. The fear of the Lord will submit to His will cheerfully. You'll be grateful for His benefits. The fear of the Lord sincerely worships Him and conscientiously obeys His commandments. We grow in the fear of God when we spend time alone with Him, meditate on His Word, and allow His Spirit to teach us. Allow His Spirit to teach us. Number four, we need time alone with God to feed our spiritual man. Job found that God's Word was more important to him than food for his body. He says in chapter 23, verse 12, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." The words of God's mouth were to him a most precious treasure. How do you view food? Spiritual food versus physical food. There are certain foods that are considered the most nearly perfect foods, which means that they contain proteins, carbohydrates, fats, minerals, and vitamins, all the nutrients for good, healthy bodies. The Bible is the perfect food. The Bible is the perfect food. It contains comfort. It contains cleansing. It contains correction and teaching. What will matter in eternity? What will matter in eternity? Our bodies are going to die even though we feed them. Our soul will live on somewhere. And that's determined a lot by what we feed it in this life. Is it feeding on the life-giving Word of God? The Bible is the perfect food. I would like to think now about some practical tips to help us have quality time alone with God. I don't know what your habits are, or whether you have a meaningful devotional life or not. If you are experiencing a wonderful devotional life, time alone with God, praise the Lord. And I trust that you can sit here and just receive encouragement to keep that up. But if you're one who is struggling, I hope that what is shared this morning will be a help to you. Number one, plan and commit myself to a slot of time in my day when I can be alone with God. And I'm not here to suggest when that time must be. I'm a morning person. I enjoy my quiet moments, my quiet mornings, I should say. Maybe I should say most of the time they're quiet. I still have a lot of room to grow. Need to work on this too. But each one of us needs to think about our routine schedules and decide when the best time is to spend quality time with Him. And I want us to remember that word quality when we think about this. Because in our time alone, we need to be concerned about distractions. We need to be concerned about when I will be most alert, when it will be quiet, and when I will be unbothered by the phone ringing or people coming. And I think we should also plan how long this time with God should be, so we for sure have a slot of time that is unbothered by the pressures of life. And maybe I should say that even though we will try our best to plan a perfect time, we will still have distractions that we'll need to deal with. And that's where self-discipline comes into play. And there's a quote I came across that goes like this. It says, "We don't drift into spiritual life. We do not drift into disciplined prayer. We do not grow in prayer unless we plan to pray. That means we must set aside time to do nothing but pray. What we actually do reflects our highest priorities." What we do reflects our highest priorities. This quote specifically mentions prayer, and I like what it says about prayer. But I believe we can also apply this to our devotional life in general. We won't have quality time alone with God unless we plan it and commit ourselves to that plan. Turn with me to Mark 1:35. Beautiful picture here. We find here that even Jesus made special effort to have time alone with his Father. Mark 1:35 says that, "And in the morning, rising up a great while," catch that, "a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." How many times have I risen a great while before day? Did Jesus need this time alone? He was God, right? Did he need this time alone? Because we know that in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Scripture tells us that. I don't think he really needed anything because he was God. I know he enjoyed fellowship with his Father, but I believe he was showing us a pattern here. We know that Jesus came to this earth to teach us and to show us how he wants us to live. And I just love this beautiful picture of Jesus rising early to find quiet time to pray to his Father. I guess I have a lot to grow in to follow Jesus' example of getting up a great while before day where I will be undisturbed. I love to sleep. But my mind goes to, and maybe I told this story here before, I can't remember. Forgive me if I have. My mind goes to a man I met in Honduras, a man who I had visited a number of times. And one of the things he liked to do was read the Bible together. And so when we would get together, I'd go visit him. We'd sit down and we'd read together. And of course, it was in Spanish, and I could read in Spanish, but could understand little of what I was reading at that point. And one of those times we were together, I asked him what time he gets up in the morning and to have his time with God, because I knew he got up early. And if I remember right, it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I know it was very early. And he had a set plan how he did it. He would pray for a certain amount of time, and he had a certain amount of time that he would memorize scripture. And then he had a time of meditation and reading God's word. He knew his Bible. That's one thing I do remember about him. But I saw something in this man that always blessed me. He loved God. He loved God. And I could tell it. Is it possible that if I put forth such effort to have quality time with God, that I would learn to love Him more? I think so. I think this example of Jesus rising up a great while before day shows us His relationship with His Father. He loved His Father. He loved to commune with His Father. There is a battle raging, and many have fallen and are falling. We are busy people. There are centrifugal forces at work in our modern world that propel us into a whirlwind of activity and of business. There's so many things to do. There are to-do lists, projects that need done. There are places to go and children to take care of. And we do a lot of things that are good and important, but somehow, too often, I see in my own life, that we either let out the most important thing in our day, or else what we do have is far from satisfactory when it comes to having quality time alone with God. Maybe I am revealing my own needs. I need this sermon more than anyone. Well, unless we make time alone with God a priority, the other hours devoted to our busy schedules will be poorly used. And I see that has happened in my own life. We are prone to ignore times of retreat because our work and our families all seem more important. And a lot of things we do are good, important things. And we daren't just neglect those important things. But so often it seems like doing seems so much more practical than praying or meditating on the Word of God. And I think somehow we need to get that changed, that mentality changed in our minds. And I'm not saying that we should neglect those important things that I mentioned, but maybe we need to start our day earlier so we can for sure get in our time alone with God. Jesus said to the disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Jesus knew His disciples needed time alone with Him. They had been so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. Jesus knows how busy we are and how much we need to just come away from our busyness, find time alone with God so that we can have the right perspective in life, so that we can be fed, so that we can better use our time for God. Let's plan and commit ourselves to a slot of time each day when we can have quality time alone with God. Number two, make it a priority to begin and end my day with God. What are my waking thoughts when I rise in the morning? Our waking thoughts are often what we ended our day with, or what we most often fill our minds with at the close of a day. Turn with me to Psalm 4. I found this very fascinating. I looked in a chronological Bible and found that, as far as people can tell, chapter 4 and Psalm 4 and Psalm 5 are back to back, time wise. And it makes sense to me. And I would just like to start reading at verse 7. It's kind of breaking into a thought, but Let's begin at Psalm 4, verse 7, and read down into Psalm 5 a little bit. It says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Take notice that this seems to be at the close of a day. He's thinking about laying down to sleep. Now let's go into Psalm 5. "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Look up. The psalmist comes to the end of a day, and he reflects upon his day and considers the fact that God had put gladness in his heart. He had a good day, and he was at peace. It's something else he had thought about. "I will both lay me down in peace." He had reflected upon his day, and that God had put gladness in his heart, and he was at peace in his heart, and he could lay down and sleep. Could lay down and sleep. Seems like those were his closing thoughts. What were his waking thoughts? His waking thoughts were about God. He woke up and began to seek the Lord and pray to him. He meditated upon God, and he wanted God to see him and to have that connection with him. He's like, "I will direct my prayer unto thee. I will look up." And he wanted God to hearken unto the voice of his prayer. He wanted, desperately wanted, a connection with God again as he began his day. I hope we all know something about this kind of life. When we come to the end of a day, and we reflect over the day and think about what God has done for us, think about the lessons we learned, give a prayer of praise. Maybe it's a confession that we need to make. A prayer of trust. Thanking Him for peace. And then we're off to sleep. Maybe read a few verses. I don't know when you have your devotional time, if it's morning or evening. But I personally want to do better at ending my day with some thoughts about God. Whether it's just spending more time reflecting, reading God's Word, spending more time in prayer. I see great strength in this thought of ending our day and beginning our day with God. Psalm 1 tells us, "Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord." It says, "He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he grows stronger and stronger. He drinks from the well of life freely, and his life shows forth abundant fruit." And he is at peace. He is at peace. Number three, read the word with purpose to learn. There are so many devotional guides available, and I would just like to put out a caution in relation to that. While I believe there is a place for devotional guides, too many times I feel they do the thinking for us. They may give a portion of Scripture to read and then may talk about how it should be applied. And that's not all bad. I believe there is a place for that. But on the other hand, if we are going to mature in becoming Bible scholars, we need to learn how to dig into the Word of God and try to understand it. And learn how to apply it to my life. I think it's also important to read the Bible through. Not saying it has to be done all the time, but make sure that at some point you read everything that's in here. Because I know for myself, it's easy to focus on those good, rich passages. Things that are already familiar to me. And when I read some of these other passages that are not as familiar, I begin to highlight things that I don't remember reading before or having them stand out to me. And I think devotional guides can tend to lead us away from those passages as well. But read with purpose to learn. That's the point I would like to make. Read with a purpose to learn. I need to ask God to help me understand the verses I'm reading and how to apply them to my life. I think that should be one of our prayers before we begin our Bible reading. Turn with me to Psalm 119. These verses go right along with this thought. Psalm 119, verse 17 through 20, says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." This should be our prayer as we enter our time of meditation. Open thou mine eyes that I might behold the wondrous things that are here. As we read, make it a point to pull out a couple verses, verse or two, to try to remember for the day. Or maybe it's just a principle that is taught that we can take with us. And maybe you're like me and have a hard time remembering those things that we try to remember. Write them down. Stick them in your pocket. Take them with you and pull it out during the day so that you can be reminded of the things you committed yourself to the beginning of that day. You see, we don't read God's Word just because it's the thing to do. We need to read to nurture our souls, and if that's not happening, our spiritual life will die. I've heard it said already that often when a backslidden person returns to the Lord, it's very common for the person to say that he began straying from the Lord when he neglected his devotional life. And brothers and sisters, I think we will stray from the Lord if we don't read with a purpose to learn. If we're just reading out of duty, just because we think it's the thing to do, and we're not getting out of our devotional life or time alone with God what we really need to, it will affect our spiritual life. Do what it takes to learn and apply what you've learned. Psalm 119:9 says, it's a very familiar verse, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." There are several things that are brought out in this verse that I believe give us a guideline to follow when we are in the word. Number one, I need to consider my failures and how abominable they must be in God's eyes. Number two, I must examine my ways according to God's word and carefully hear what God has to say concerning my ways. And number three, I must take heed to God's word and allow it to change my course. Allow it to change my course. This is the way to find purpose in our time alone with God. There is a purpose in meeting with God. Our time with God should be a quiet time where God can speak to my needs through His Word. In our reading, we should also think about who God is and what He is doing for us. That's also a very important thing to do. Understand and see who God is and what He is doing for me. We should think about how I can better follow Christ, my Master. We talked about that earlier. Our reading and meditation should have a purifying effect on our lives. Lastly, number four, pray, for it's our spiritual life breath. I think so often we forget what true communion with our Heavenly Father does for us. Yes, it does something for us. But God wants us to come to Him. God wants us to cry out to Him. Is prayer important to me? As you think about your prayer habits, is prayer important to me? It is to God. Prayer is important to God. Jesus said, we need to have personal, private fellowship with our Father. He says in Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Shall reward thee openly. The fact that the Father will reveal openly tells me that one's private prayer life, or lack of it, will show in one's life. One's private prayer life, or lack of it, will show in one's life. We need to pray. Or we might be deceived like Joshua was. When he didn't get counsel from God and the Gibeonites came tricking them into thinking they were people from a far land seeking peace. We need to pray or we will sin like Peter did when he slept instead of praying. And soon after denying Jesus. We need to pray or we will lack power like the disciples did when they couldn't heal the demon-possessed boy. Prayer is essential for victorious living. Do we find it hard to commune with God? Maybe we need a little guide to remind us what we should pray about. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Our prayer should include exalting God, the one who is above all, the one who is Lord of all, the one who is King of kings. Exalt God. Our prayer should include confession of sin. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Asking for help. We are such needy people. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Intercede for others. Paul told his friends, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. God, help us to be a praying people. Have you ever wondered what praying without ceasing really means? Obviously, we can't go through the day praying every minute. Howard Beane, in one of his books, talked about this verse, and I'm going to quote a little of what he says. I found it very fascinating. He did some study back in the Roman times to the meaning of this phrase without ceasing. And it was used to describe a cough. A cough. A praying person is something like a coughing person. Someone who coughs all day does not give one long, continuous cough. He coughs in intervals. It's the same way for the praying Christian. A Christian does not give one drawn out prayer, but prays whenever he needs to or is prompted to. You won't say a person with a cough has stopped coughing just because at a given moment he is not coughing. Even though a child of God isn't constantly on his knees or engaged in conscious prayer, you wouldn't say he has stopped praying. The child of God will pray frequently throughout the day. Whenever he feels a need to, an urge to, he feels a need and he prays. How has your prayer life been? Are we a people who have that prayer to God throughout the day, that praying attitude? We cry out to God. I think our time alone with God and our quality time alone with God directly will affect what kind of prayer life we'll have throughout the day. If our heart is in tune with God, we will more often think about the times where we need to cry out to Him throughout the day because we started our day right. We thought about God. We connected with Him. I do believe there is a connection. Let's never suffocate our spiritual man by becoming lax in our prayer life, because it is the life breath of our spiritual man. Well, it is time to close. I hope this morning we have been encouraged to grow in giving God His rightful place each day. Let's seek to have quality time alone with Him, where we will be fed, we will be nurtured, and we will grow day by day to become more like Him. Let's kneel for prayer.